Good morning, church. Thank you guys for coming this morning. And just wanted to say what a glorious day the Lord has given us to come and praise and worship Him this morning here at Grace Bible Ambassadors. Want to remind all of those that have come today as well as those that are online watching, we are offering two books at no charge. If you'd email us at info@ohiogracebible.com, we'd like your first and last name and your mailing address. The first book that we have is Things I've Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True by Mike Steward. And we also have a great book called Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Terrence McLean. So we'd love for you to have those in your study material. And if you would this morning before we begin, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. That was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I'll take a minute to get there, myself included. All right, by the looks of it, 100% of us are there. Perfect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day we have to praise and worship you this morning. We thank you that we can all come together and meet and praise and worship and study your word together. Lord, we pray for those that could not make it today. We pray that you would be with them and their families. Heal those that are sick and continue to protect those that are feeling well. Lord, we ask that you would be here with us today as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin by letting each and every one of you know that I am going to be talking about today how to approach a stranger with dispensational truths and things for them to think about. This week at work, I had the opportunity in an open door with a client that I was speaking with about business, and I reminded that client that I would be here working for my company unless I got into full-time ministry. And that led to a couple of emails that went back and forth, and about the second or third email that I received from my client, they had asked questions about ministry. So I felt this would be a great time to share with our local body of Christ here today. How can we teach someone very simply our dispensational truths that we study week in and week out? Kind of a basics, a 101. And after we just read 1 Peter 3:15, putting God into our heart and studying our Bible is so important. He's our power. He's our strength. But today I've titled this message called I Am. I'd like to tell you who I am this morning. I am a dispensational Bible teacher. I'm a believer in the authorized King James Version of our Bible, the preserved, the inerrant, the inspired, and the infallible Word of God. Amen. I'm a far from perfect student of the Holy Bible, and throughout my walk and personal relationship with God, I have oftentimes had to correct my mistakes and my misunderstandings of Bible truths and doctrines to keep pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. Specifically, I am a mid-Acts dispensationalist. However, from a mathematical sense, this isn't correct, because the book of the Acts of the Apostles actually has 28 chapters in it, which would mean that a mid-Acts dispensationalist would fall somewhere between chapters 14 and 15. However, this term mid-Acts is not arithmetically correct. Mid-Acts in the dispensational context refers to the ninth chapter of the book of Acts when Christ began his dealings with the Apostle Paul. Now, some might also point to the 13th chapter because it's there that Paul makes his first statement that some in Israel considered worthy of death. If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 13 this morning. Acts chapter 13, and we're going to take a look at verses 38 and 39 together. If you'll follow along with me, I'd greatly appreciate it. Again, that's Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
You see, this forgiveness of sins is now through Christ rather than by the expressions of faith or performance or obedience, if you will, to Moses' law. That was the message that the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted the Apostle Paul. As a dispensational teacher and Bible student, my goal has always been a twofold goal in my walk and relationship and growing in God's amazing grace. First, to let God be true and every man a liar, as it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. And also, most importantly, to allow the Holy Bible to be my final authority and not man.
Amen.
Many of you have had the acronym before, but I'll remind you that B-I-B-L-E is the basic instructions before leaving earth. Now, when we're teaching our friends, when we're teaching our family about dispensationalism, it is so vitally important to season everything that we say and do with grace. We have to. It's a must. Remember back to when you were saved. We've all went through a lot of religiosity in our walk with the Lord to get to the place where we were talking about this morning before praise and worship, where that grace of God is so strong that everything else that you could possibly think of doing would just be spitting in the Lord's face.
Wow.
Even as a young Christian believer, I did notice that God has not always dispensed the same information to the same people at all times. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1. And that's Hebrews chapter 1. Give everybody time to get over there, including myself. All right. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, time out. Since we just talked briefly about God and His dispensing, it's a perfect time to cover the word and term dispensation. The word dispensation occurs four times in your King James Bible. And you'll notice, and it is worthy to note, that this only occurs in the Pauline epistles, specifically in Corinthians, Ephesians, and the book of Colossians. I'd like to go there. Maybe you're new to dispensationalism, so let's go and take a look where those words are. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, please. We are going to keep those fingers moving this morning, so stay with me the best you can. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Let's even start in verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Turn to the right, if you would, to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. A few books to your right. Right when you get to the beginning of the chapter, stop, please. Ephesians chapter 1. I'd like to start in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Chapter 3, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Verse 3, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And by afore He means in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Flip a little to the right, we're going to go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. In those four verses, I don't know about you, but the word dispensation seems mighty important for you to study and ask yourself, what is that there for? I'd like to give you a little hint from my research and the time that I've spent in God's Word of what I believe a dispensation is, but I'd like you to study it on your own and be careful, because not all dispensationalists out there have got it nailed down perfectly. In fact, none of us have it down perfectly. But there are some that can go way off the path. To me, a dispensation is when God administers or dispenses and humanity responds. It deals with proper administration and stewardship. It deals with oversight and management. And this dispensation of the grace of God that we are in today could not and never did and never was received until it was received by the Apostle Paul from Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. You see, many folks will undoubtedly reject the fact that the Apostle Paul had anything special, unique, different, or even a mystery imparted to only him. Surely not something that Jesus Christ's disciples didn't have or know during Christ's earthly ministry, or did he? You know, let's not suppose or to try to have our own personal interpretation on that. What does the Bible say? Always ask, when you're studying the Word of God, even if you're listening to a pastor's message, you must study the Word of God for yourself. Listening to a pastor's message is not studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God means opening this book and getting into it for your very self. Significantly, the Bible contains information which everyone could know since the world began, as we'll see in the book of Acts. If you'll turn back to the book of Acts with me, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. You see, the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles here, in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 3, you'll understand that this deals with Peter. This ministry deals with Peter and the disciples and the apostles' doctrine, where we dealt with repentance, water baptism, enduring to the end, and being obedient to the law. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Now this, as a reminder, Acts 3:21 again, since the world began, they knew this. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 states, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel," Paul's, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Now those are in direct opposition to one another. One stated, since the world began, and you'll look right here at the end, was kept secret since the world began. Please make a big note of that. We now have scriptural proof that the Bible also contains information which no one could know until Christ imparted it to the Apostle Paul. You see, the importance of mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism lies in the differentiation between that which had been prophesied and that which was a part of the mystery program. And this mystery program was revealed by Christ to Paul. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy. I always wondered, since the day I was saved, why my heart was in such unison with this Bible verse that I'm about to read to you this morning. Even at the last church that I attended and was a member at, when we got asked in front of the congregation to explain the biggest verse of your life, 2 Timothy 2:15, was that for myself. Because it is the key to understanding the majority of this Bible that we hold in our hands today. "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, rightly dividing is not optional, and it's not merely a suggestion. The fact that the Bible has divisions in it cannot be argued. Take a look at it with me. Go to the front of your Bible. We'll see what... right there. The old table of contents. We've got an Old Testament and the New Testament. And everyone would agree to those divisions. Now, amazingly, most everyone would say that the Old Testament begins in Genesis chapter 1 and that the New Testament begins with the first chapter of Matthew. And that actually means that most everyone would be wrong. You see, since the Old Testament is the giving of the law that could not begin until the covenant of the law actually is delivered, in Exodus chapter 19. Let's go there, if you will. We're really going to get a finger exercise this morning. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Again, referencing Israel. Since the New Testament could not take effect without the death of a testator, that could not be before Christ dies on the cross. Jump with me to Matthew. Book of Matthew. Going way far right now. Book of Matthew, chapter 26. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Notice, remission of sins. You didn't see forgiveness of sins. You saw remission of sins. Now from this we see that our ideas as to where the Old and New Testament start, these were not a functionality of Bible study. So we must allow the Bible to correct our wrong thinking. You see, those title pages in our Bible announcing Old Testament and New Testament, they were placed in a convenient spot for the publishers. But it's out of place. And it has taught us wrong things about Bible doctrine. Now additionally, we'll see that Christ gave instructions to the Apostle Paul, which are neither New Testament or Old Testament doctrine, but rather according to the mystery which had been hidden since before the world began. Again, hidden. It was not known, for if it would have been known, would Christ have ended up on the cross? My personal hope and prayer is that by recognizing this mystery and respecting the importance of this mystery to God's wise plan to glorify Christ both in heaven and on earth is the key to understanding and enjoying your Bible, the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 3. And go ahead and keep there for a little bit. We're going to be back to that one. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see, in closing, none of us want to be guilty of wrongly dividing the Word of God. 2 Timothy has already given us a clear instruction to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do I believe it? Acts chapter 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You see, we'd be guilty of both of these indiscretions if we fail to recognize and respect the revelation of the mystery which the Lord Jesus Christ delivered to the Apostle Paul in the beginning of the 9th chapter in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It is so important to study. You should still be there in Ephesians chapter 3. This is such an important, and we're going to read this today. I don't normally go through an entire chapter, but this one is so crucial to hear the verses together. If you're new to dispensationalism, maybe you're new to this chapter and really reading it carefully and slowly all the way through. But that's what we're going to do right now. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, For you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Not Paul's power, his power, Jesus Christ. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Again, not in the faith of Paul, in the faith of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Whether you're here at Grace Bible Ambassadors today or happen to be viewing online, if you have not understood a word that I've said today, that's okay. I appreciate you attending and watching and tuning in this morning. This, I ask that you listen to, though. This all may be new to you, and that's okay. But do you know that you're a sinner? Do you understand that even if you've only broken one of God's commandments and laws, you're pronounced guilty of them all? Do you know your true need for eternal salvation in heaven? And that there is a place called hell for those who wish to have nothing to do with God? I hope you do. I hope you know that God is just, and that God is merciful, and that God is love, and he has given you and I a way out of hell for all of eternity. He's asked us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that 3 days later he rose again according to the Scriptures for your salvation today. Would you simply believe it and receive this free gift that we've talked about this morning, the gift of salvation? I pray that you will. Put the religious mumbo jumbo to the side. If it is not the gospel of the grace of God that your pastor or teacher is preaching out of their pulpit, it's time to go. You can do all the religious things in the world. Water baptism, tithes, you name it. We can have the communion table every Sunday. But if what is not coming out of your pulpit is the gospel of the grace of God, people will leave your doors unseasoned with the grace of God that they should be hearing and receiving and taking out to a lost and dark and dying world that's on their way to hell. I pray for the lost today. I pray that God would do a mighty miracle and that somebody out there, somebody listening on the internet today would hear the simple gospel, the simplicity in Christ Jesus to believe 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, nothing else, nothing more, and to get saved today. And I pray that with all my heart. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for right division. Thank you for this dispensation of the grace of God where we can receive God's mercy and His grace and His love. And it's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about simply believing the gospel message unfiltered. Lord, I pray that any of us that have a religious spirit would let it go and trust in the power of the glorious gospel of peace, and that we would share it with everyone and anyone that we come into contact with. And I pray this all in Jesus Christ's mighty and holy and precious name. Amen. Jesus.